Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. The following recording is from the annual Qalam Qiyam that is hosted here in Dallas, Texas during the last few nights of the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, this year we held the gathering at the Roots Community Space. This annual Qiyam is an opportunity for people all around the Metroplex to come to one place physically and spend the night with our instructors and senior students from the Qalam Seminary and be led in prayers by them and listen to thoughts and reflections from the teachers at Qalam. We also open up this Qiyam to everyone worldwide by streaming it live over the internet. Alhamdulillah, this year we were able to record the talks, and so we are very happy to bring you these recordings in the form of a podcast so that inshallah you can listen to them, reflect upon them, and share them with family and friends. And lastly and finally, if you have benefited from Qalam's work, if you appreciate what we are doing at Qalam, then please go to supportqalam.com and be a part of the solution. Invest into your akhirah and have a share in sadaqah jariyah, a perpetual good, a continuous effort, inshallah, that will continue to benefit people for generations to come and will continue to fill your book of deeds till the day of judgment. Jazakumullahu khairan. Listen to the podcast. I hope and pray that it's a source of benefit. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد Sometimes you wonder if there's ever even purpose behind doing good in life. What do I get out of it? So many qiyams, so much recitation, fasting. Is there any meaning or purpose behind this? There is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name of Hakim bin Hizam radiyallahu ta'ala an. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question. He said, I've done so much good in my life. So much good in my life. Even before he became Muslim, he was just this really generous, awesome person. What benefit do I get out of my good? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a profound answer to him. He said to him, "Aslamta ala ma aslafta min khair." That you are Muslim today because of the good you've done in your life. Every good you do will be fully compensated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a scholar by the name of Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah. A scholar who wrote many books. There's one book of his in particular that I'm very interested in and I like to read. Because in this book, he teaches the reader how to be familiar with the art of war. When you deal with war, knowing your strengths is very important. But you also have to know the strengths of your opponent. You also have to know the weaknesses of your opponent. So in order to teach the soldier proper tactics to deal with the spiritual war that we interact with on a daily basis, he wrote a book called Talbis Iblis, in which he lays out all the plans of the enemy. These are all the different traps that Shaitan uses to delude human beings. And it's quite a concerning book because there's much more to Shaitan than you and I would think. Now, one of the things that Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah mentions, for some people what Shaitan does is that he elevates the status of the worship they do to a point where they become so arrogant over their worship that they then become deviant. They engage in self-righteousness. They think they're no longer in need for worship anymore because they're so proud of what they've done so far. And you'll find a lot of Muslims who always talk about in the past how righteous they were. Right? That right there is Shaitan successful. And then there's a second group of people who can't be fooled by their good deeds because maybe they lack in them. So what Shaitan does is he takes another tactic, and this time he deludes them through their sins. What he does is he makes them reflect over the lowest point in their life, something they've done that they're truly ashamed of. So ashamed of that every time they think of it, their heart begins to sink even further down. They can't tell anyone. They're too ashamed of it. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed his veil, there would be no one in the world that would look at us with an eye of respect. It's that sitr of Allah, that veil that allows us to walk with dignity, that allows people to look at us with respect. Had they had the ability to peek into these hearts, they would probably run as if they just seen a ghost. So what happens is that shaitan takes this sin and he keeps reminding you that, remember that sin that you did? Remember that sin that you did? Remember that sin that you did? And you keep reflecting over that dark part of your life until a point comes where he actively uses that sin as a wedge between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every gathering you go to, you look at the people around you who are on this emotional journey of crying in front of Allah, and you look at them and say, that's never going to be me. I'm drowning in my sins. You look at the person who's reading Quran, leading Salah, the person who's standing in front of Allah with their hands raised, and you say, gosh, what would I do to be that person for a moment? How beautiful would it be for me to be able to cry in front of Allah? Then you ask that maybe this sinner, referring to yourself, maybe I was always created to be sent to the fire of hell. Maybe the mercy of Allah was never written for me. That's a very lonely place to be. A very lonely place. The world's abandoned me. But what if my Allah's abandoned me too? What happens now? Where do I go? Is this life? I live in misery, resurrected alone, stand in front of Allah, he's upset with me. And then I'm rushed off to the fire of hell, and that's the end of my story. This right here is shaitan with a very beautiful crafted plan. He just executed a move that no one can even smell the scent to. Because he's used your sin as a wedge between you and Allah, and he's allowed you to become, motivated you, instigated you to become despondent in that mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he tells us very openly, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. You can never turn away from my mercy. You just can't do it. No matter how dark life gets, you have to always hope. Like your mother would never give up on you, your Allah is never going to give up on you. You just have to pick up the phone and call. Ya Allah, I need you. And your Allah will be there without you even having to raise the voice, just the thought of Allah. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرًا مِّنْ. Just remember me, and I'll remember you in a gathering better than yours. إِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. Remember me in your heart, and I'll remember you in my heart. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Just say me, say Allah, and I'll be in your remembrance. You just can't let go of Allah. There's a famous scholar by the name of Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah. He wrote a book called Kitab al-Tawabin, and in this book, he gathers the stories of people of the past who were at the crossroads that many of us are at today, just broken, lost. And he shares some of their stories, and he narrates a riwayah from Wahab bin Munabbah, and he narrates from him a story regarding a man from the time of Musa alayhi salam. There was this man who was young, shabun, atin, musrifun, who was a sinner, who transgressed, someone who really just botched up life, you know, really just went off the hook. People in the community were so annoyed of this person, and they decided to expel this person from the city limits. And they said that, we don't want God's punishment to come down on you and then enwrap us all, so you're out. And they kicked this man out, and this man, he lived outside the city and just, you know, here and there, spent his life. Finally, when death came, he started crawling back to the city. He's at the Bab al-Madina, right at the gate of the city, and he falls down there. And he's in his sakarat. Death has come at this door. The angel's standing there. And it's time for him to leave. And as he's dying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Musa alayhi salam, who's inside the city, that إِنَّ عَبْدًا مِّنْ عِبَادِي No, إِنَّ وَلِيًّا مِّنْ أَوْلِيَائِي That there is a friend of mine from my friends who's passing away. You must go to his janazah. غَسِّلْهُ أُحْضُرْهُ غَسِّلْهُ صَلِّ عَلَيْهِ Go to him, wash his body, and pray on him. وَقُلْ لِمَنْ كَثُرَ عِسْيَانُهُ And tell to the ones in your community whose sins have become abundant, attend his janazah, I will forgive them. The people gather together and they see this man. When they approach him, they look at him carefully and they're like, this guy? This dude? He's a sinner. He's not a friend of Allah. This person's a scum. Musa alayhi salam, fata'ajaba Musa, he's shocked. What? Allah told me this is a friend. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds back by saying, صَدَقُوا وَهُمْ شُهَدَاءِ, that they're right. These people are my witnesses. They saw him sinning. However, when death came to him, he looked to his right and there was no one there. The world had abandoned him. He looked to his left and there was no one there. The world had abandoned him. Then he looked up to me and he said, Ya Allah, عَبْدٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِكَ غَرِيبٌ فِي بِلَادِكَ. Ya Allah, I'm one of yours. I'm in your land and I feel so lonely. Everyone's left me. Ya Allah, if forgiving me decreases you in any way, then I won't ask you for your forgiveness. And if punishing me increases you in any way, then I won't ask to be pardoned from that punishment. I've already messed up too much in my life. But Ya Allah, as I lie here alone, there is no place to run or hide but to you. So I turn to you and I ask, Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon me. And he leaves the world, and in comes Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, to wash this man's body who the world had given up on. That's who your Allah is. Don't let anyone tell you ever that you don't have a right to Allah because you've sinned. Find me a person who hasn't sinned after the Messenger of Allah. Find me one, and I'll say that person's a liar. Because all of us have sinned. We just sin in different ways. It doesn't give anyone the right or privilege to go around criticizing or looking down upon other people. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his love wasn't only limited for those who were worshippers. His love was for every person. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Kitab al-Dua, his chapter on supplication, the opening hadith, he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted every prophet a special dua. A special dua. The scholars talk about what's special about this dua. That's a discussion of hadith and commentary. And the Prophet of Allah said, every prophet used their dua in this world. I've saved mine for the hereafter. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, while commentating on this hadith, and also Imam Qastalani, while commentating on this hadith, they both write that the previous prophets used this dua against the sinners of their nations. Our messenger preserved his for the day of judgment for the sinners of his nation. That all of you guys, I got you. You're not going anywhere. I will stand by Allah's throne and I will cry on your behalf. Allah has given me the maqam of shafa'ah. Trust. Just trust me. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. I love you more than you love yourself. I've made dua for you, for iman to reach you. Don't think that you're coincidentally a believer. There was a prophet in Medina many years ago who stood all night, and Aisha radiallahu anha saw him, and he said, Ya Allah, ummati, ummati. Every one of them. Every single one of them. The sahabi comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gathering. Bukhari riwayah. Imam Bukhari brings this riwayah in his Kitab al-Hudud. A companion comes to the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he's being accused of consuming alcohol. The Messenger of Allah examines him, says, go and give him the punishment. A few days later, again, examine him. Yes, he's drunk, punishment. Third time, again. On the fourth time, when he was leaving, someone called him a donkey. The Messenger of Allah stopped that person and said, what did you say? This man loves Allah and the Rasul. How could you say that about him? Drinking alcohol, minor sin or major sin? Really quick.
Major.
Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullahi alayhi. You know how Sheikh Muntasir talked about arja ayatin fil Qur'an? Right? You guys remember that? The most hopeful ayah in the Qur'an? Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great master commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, says, I found this to be arja hadith. This is the most hopeful hadith I've ever read in my life. Because this hadith taught me, even someone who sins, their heart has the ability to love Allah and the Rasul. At the testimony of Allah and the Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the next time shaitan throws that thought into your mind that I'm not worthy, I'm a sinner, the world has rejected me, I just wait to be rejected on the day of judgment, I want you to know that had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not loved you, he wouldn't allow you to come to this gathering. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not saw value, had he not seen value in your heart, he wouldn't allow your heart to bear iman. Had there not been beauty in your forehead, Allah wouldn't allow it to bow in front of him. Had your tongue not been sweet, Allah wouldn't allow you to say his name with love. There are people who come and go, this dunya. They're born and they die. And not once in their life are they blessed with the honor or hidayah, ability to think about saying Allah's name with love even one time. They come to the world and they forgot to say Allah's name with love. And Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. What did I do wrong to you? Give you everything. Alladhi khalaqaka, fasawwaka, fa'adalaka, fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a. I give you everything. What went wrong? Was my mercy not enough to you? Did you just decide to forgive me? I thought we had a covenant, we had a relationship, we had a promise that I would look after you and you would believe in me. Wasn't that our agreement? How did you just forget about me? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can imagine how upset he would be with this servant. But had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not loved you, he wouldn't allow you to cry. He wouldn't invite you. He wouldn't allow those tears to come out of your eyes if he didn't love you. Don't sell yourself short. Don't fall to this trap of shaitan. Only the very special servants of Allah are invited by Allah into his chamber of sincerity. There's a chamber that Allah has reserved for believers who are absolutely sincere. And then Allah, one by one, invites them in. And as they come in, everything in the world just goes silent. And the only thing that you see in your existence is أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. You're in front of Allah. That's all that matters to you. And your heart begins to get a little heavier. And you're humbled. Ya Allah, you have invited me into this room. I wasn't worthy of it, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, now that you've invited me here, there's a lot of pain this heart has. I don't have words to talk about what I'm going through. As Allama Iqbal said, أَسُوَكِ زُبَاهُ مَرِي تَرْجُمَا. Ya Allah, I'm in a point in my life that I can't speak anymore. Let my tears tell you what I experience. Let them be interpreters for what I experience. And then those tears come out. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to the angels, that's why I created them. This right here. See that tear? That's why I created the insan. Shaitan tried so hard to keep them away from me, but they still found me. Their heart is loyal to me, and that heart cries for me. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two drops that are beloved to Allah. The first is the drop of blood that falls from the body of the martyr. Before it touches the ground, all of the sins are forgiven. And the second is the tear that comes out of the eye of the believer. That tear has the ability, the capacity to extinguish the fire of hell. So if Allah invites you into that chamber tonight, on this campus, I want you to walk through that door and do what your heart wants you to do. I want you to cry in front of Allah. Tears are not limited to water that flow from the eyes. Crying is a state of the heart where the heart is broken, where it's humbled, where it finds no purpose other than just wanting to be with Allah. I want you to cry like that. How long will we keep these tears back? How long will our hearts remain as rocks? How long will these stains burn away? Mufti Taqi Uthmani, standing in front of the Kaaba, he wrote a few lines, and I think of these lines, and they're so powerful. He said, Ya Anke Khushke Ya Rab, Ine Rona Nahi Ata. Oh my Lord, my eyes have gone dry. They've lost the ability to cry. So many years have passed. You've been inviting me every night, and I've just been lost. Ya aankhe khushk hai ya rab inhe rona nahi aata sulagte daagh hai dil mein jinhe dhona nahi aata. As a result of these dry eyes, I have these burning stains in my heart that I just don't know how to wash away. This is your Ramadan. No one can steal that from you. No one can ever rob your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created you. Allah inspired your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your wakil. Allah is your wali. The Quran says it. Allahu waliyyul ladina amanu. In case you think I'm sitting here and exaggerating, I'm not. Allah is your friend. You know that kid that's standing at the park and says, do you want to come play with me? And you just keep ignoring them? But that kid stands there. They'll come one day. And then when you go and say, hey, you want to play together, that kid smiles and says, I've been waiting for you all this time. Where have you been? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for every single heart, every single one of you. The world may not view you with significance, but know that there is no one that loves you more than your Khaliq and your Malik. And I want you to keep that in your mind this night. And as you raise your hands in front of Allah, and you decide to ask from Allah, the next time you go into sajda, the next time your heart yearns to remember Allah, the next time you read the ayat of the Qur'an and you engage with the kalam of Allah, I just want you to know it's not by coincidence. You were invited. So accept that invitation. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keeps us on that invite list. And that these hearts always yearn to love Him. That these eyes never stop crying in front of Him. That this forehead always remains bowed in front of Him. That we always be in these gatherings of knowledge. That our children and our progeny until the Day of Judgment are invited into that chamber of seclusion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.